we're really able to calibrate properly between trying to be in yeshiva, but of course being there for your parents. Okay, we are completing, amir Hashem, the discussion on Chatzer today and tomorrow. I think Wednesday I have to go up to the Hermon to visit soldiers in the Hermon. I'm not looking forward to that. I mean, I am looking forward, but as I told me, the Hermon, so it's a long trip. So Wednesday we'll start Chazara. I don't know if I'll be here this Wednesday or next Wednesday. Mirz Hashem, but we're going to discuss today airspace. Hayim Adam Konea Be'avir HaChatzer. Dibarnu Harbe Al Kinyan Chatzer. Yesh Kinyan Meshicha, Yesh Kinyan Hagba, Yesh Kinyan Mesira, Yesh Kinyanim Shadam Mevatzea Pe'ulai, performs an activity. Yesh Kinyanim, Yesh Sug Shel Kinyan, Sheze Nochet, lands. Sanchanim, Ze Nochet, landers. The Nochet Betocha, lands Betocha Makom Shelo, Vu Konea Midin Chatzer. Remind us again, remind our guests as well. What are the two makaros for Kinyan Chatzer? What do we learn Kinyan Chatzer from? Either from, well, Chatzer Mitam Yad, correct. Chatzer Mitam Yad, forget, what do we learn from? It may work as Shlichus, in which case we don't need a makor, because we have various second for Shlichus. Anyone know, by the way? Avi, what Mesach are you learning this year? Don't worry, it's not a fair. Oh, perfect. Well, let's see. Okay, you're going to get the Chatzer. But what do we learn Shlichus from? Anyone know the makor for Shlichus? Show me. Okay, it's Rav Shua ben Karcha v'shachatu atzal kol kahal adas Yisrael v'chi kol kahal adas Yisrael shachatin etz haPesach al mikan sheshlucho shel adam kimoso. Second makar, there are three different makaras. What's the real makar? Okay, it's a bad joke. What's the real makar? Second makar? V'shalach v'shilcha turak v'tavid v'shilcha mibeso l'rak v'shalach mi'v'shilcha lamdim she'efshal l'sal tshleach. And the third one is Parshas Korach. Cain. Who said this? Karimu Gamatem. You can also take Truma. What do you mean you can also take Truma? I'm the one who's taking Truma. Cain Tarimu Gamatem. Sounds like there's another person who can take Truma, namely your Shlich. Three different sources for Shlichus. Karim Pesach, Truma, and Gittin V'Kiddushin. But what's the Makor for Chatzer Mitam Yad that we learned? Either V'Nasan Biyada, Parshas Ki Teitzeh, or Parshas Mishpatim, He matzei, ti matzei biyado. A person can perform geneva if it's lying in his chatzer. Achlok is Rashi and Tassos. So we've been studying different ways to view chatzer, whether a chatzer is an active akinyan or a chatzer, as Reb Chaim said, is a mitzias. If it's in my rishos, I own it. We saw, of course, different parameters of proximity, how close you have to be near the chatzer. We saw what happens when the chatzer is split by los. We're going to chazer mitzvah on Wednesday. The woman owns the chatzer, but the husband owns the utility of the chatzer. We spoke about a rented or a borrowed chatzer, chatzer shaul, the chatzer sachor. We talked about a pop-up chatzer, which the Gemara calls kelim. We spoke about a chatzer rabbanan, dalet amos. Our final conversation will be airspace of chatzer. And unfortunately, I think we're not learning Bava Metzia, but the Gemara Bava Metzia will talk about mishtamer, and we'll get them mishtamer dafyu. Okay. Is avir ha-chatzer kona? The answer to that is yes. How do we know Avir HaChatzer is Kona? Which Mishnah in Shas? Which Mishnah in Shas? Gittin Ayin Tes. Implicit in Gittin Ayin Tes is that Chatzer could be Kona with airspace given the right conditions. So if the woman's standing on the roof and the man's standing on the Chatzer, he owns the Chatzer, she owns the roof, he tosses the Chatzer from the Chatzer to the roof. Once it enters the roof's airspace, she's Megoreshes. Vice versa. It's her Chatzer. It's his roof. He's standing on the roof. She's standing in the Chatzer. He throws it. Once it enters the airspace, it doesn't have to land. The Gemara never comes out and says it, but it's implicit in the Mishnah. Okay, so as far as we know, Avir is Kona. We can roll with that and start to try to deconstruct it and to define it. How and why is Avir Kona? But the Gemara never says Avir Kona in the same way it has this. Sometimes you have a sugya in which the Gemara articulates or asserts the baseline principle. Like we saw in the sugya of Dalet Amos, we went back to Bava Metzia Daf Yud, for Shlakish had halacha, Arba Amma Shalotim Konis Lo Kishalo. Sometimes it's so basic and so obvious that the Gemara just assumes it implies it. There's no Gemara that says Avir is Kona. There are Gemaras that say what type of Avir is Kona, what are the conditions necessary. We'll see Rav Amir Tashem and Bava Metzia Daf Yud Beis. It never says Avir is Kona because it's just implied logic. The Gemara knew it, so it's never stated. But sometimes you have to be able to peel it back and go back and say, well, what's the baseline? The baseline is that Avir works, airspace works. Now, here, fortunately, we don't have to just extract meaning through diyukim from Rishonim, what they said, and the applications, but we actually have Lashonos in the Rishonim that help us better understand Kinyan Avir Chatzer. Normally, we have to go to nafkaminos. From this nafkamina, from this application, you can deduce the following logic. Here we actually have lashonos and rishonim. We don't always have that. Which rishon has a lashon that makes it very clear as to how airspace works? Why am kona, even before it lands, as long as it's in the airspace of the chatzer? Which rishon am I referring to? Avi. Rashi. Which Rashi? Which Rashi makes it very clear how it works? Let's start not with Rashi and Gittin, but let's start with a different Rashi. Rashi in Bava Kamma. Rashi's in Bava Kamma Davayin. The Gemara is talking about Geneva. One scenario of Geneva is where the Ganav is Kona with his airspace. Not important for us. Now, anyone learn the seventh parak of Bava Kamma ever? Seventh parak of Bava Kamma talks about Kamle Bedrabavine. When you perform both, an act of Geneva, let's say, and an act of Chilul Shabbos against Misa, you only get the Chi of Misa, you don't get the Chi of Mammon, as long as they're simultaneous. So the Gemara wants to know, how can you simultaneously be over Hachnasa on Shabbos as well as Kinyan? Because normally, the Hachnasa on Shabbos happens a little bit earlier than the Kinyan. The Kinyan is only when it lands, the Hachnasa happens a little bit earlier. So the Gemara cooks up a case where you're Kona, the Geneva, with the airspace at the same time that you're over on Shabbos. That's the Gemara's context. But Rashi says, okay, Rashi describes, Chiev Mechira Bain Kiachat, Dibra Maschil Kaluta Kamisha Honcha. Listen to the language. Sha'avir Chatzir Kona Lelokeach. Airspace is Kona. So far, that's just repeating Gittin Dafayin Tes. Here it is. Dechivan Desofo Lanuach Kemunach Dami. Since it will land, it's like it has already landed. Kivan Desofo Lanuach Kemunach Dami. Since it will land, ultimately, it is like it has landed on the ground. So according to Rashi, this Gemara, this Lashon, doesn't appear in Gittin Daf Ayin Tes. Where does it appear? A language similar to that? Not in Gittin, but Sofa Lenoach, In Sofa Lenoach, which Gemara am I describing? B'Mesiyah Yud Beis. We'll see the Gemara B'Mesiyah Yud Beis. But since it's going to happen, so I view it as if it happened already. Namely, can anyone redefine Rashi? Why is Avir HaChatzir Kona? It's like it's on the ground. What part of the chatzer is kona an item? The ground of the air. What part of the chatzer is kona? The ground of the air?
The ground.
Once it reaches the airspace, presumably on the way down, it's kimunach dummy. So according to the first pshat, avir is kona, kimunach dummy. Rashi, Bava Kamma, Dafayin. Does anyone know parallels in Shas where we take future events and recognize them as if they occurred already since they're inevitable? Kolami the Sarika Kizarik Dami the Gemara in Kulin from Karen's Rika Saddam and it spills out. Another case? What do we call that? Kala Omeid Li. Sorry, if Kizarik Dami, what's another way to refer to that? We call that Nechtes Kasa Shire. So sometimes in Halacha we view future events that are inevitable as if they've already occurred. Can you already see that the Malach has a Kinyan on the Nechassim from the Lova that he'll take? Rabbi Shimon is a very big fan of that. Rabbi Shimon Rabbi Kiva's Talmud was a Mr. Kol HaOmed, Kol HaOmed Lizarev, Kol HaOmed Lisarev, Kol HaOmed Litol. What? Kol HaOmed Ligvas?
No, then you're going to kill him so he doesn't.
That's called a treifa. That's not really a kolomed. It's just since you're on death row, you have different halachas. Kolomed, the katzes, katzes dami. If you have fruits that's about to be harvested, or they like metaltolin, or they like karka. So we have several kolomeds. Without getting into the details, this is a form of kolomed. It may be stronger than kolomed, but at least let's leave it as if a future event has occurred already in the present. Who argues with Rashi? Which Rishon gives us a language that seems to discuss something very different from Rashi? It's not as if you're kona, because we view the object as having landed already. Show me.
The Ron says.
The Ron, very good. The Ron where? The Ron in Gittin. Excellent. Says what?
He says that Rosh Hashayachid goes up Ad L'Shamayim.
Rosh Hashayachid is Ola Ad L'Shamayim. This is a Shabbos halacha, which he applies to Kenyan. This is also, at least, well, let's make the mechitzas high enough. This is the ground. This is also considered Rishos HaLokeach. So according to the Ron, are you kona because we envision it as having landed? No. You're kona because?
Air can be kona.
Air is kona. Namely, very good, Eitan. We have two ways to do the Kinyan of Avir. Is the Kinyan of Avir because it's Kimunach Dami, because it already has landed? Or Avir is kona. This is the Ron. This is Rashi and Bava Kamma. Normally we don't have such clear languages in Rishonim. We have to extract it from the Nafkaminos. Here are the Rishonim perform most of the hard labor for us. Now we just have to take these ideas and apply them to different parameters, which we call nafrinias. When, where, how, under what conditions, what is necessary, what are the criteria. But here, we're very, very privileged. We have the Rishonim actually articulating it for us. Is Avir kimunach dami, or Avir itself is kona? Now, we've been talking about a... Well, you know what? Let's leave it. Let me ask it, people to be a little quieter. Okay. We'll talk about how this relates to Kinyan Chatzar, because we've been asking a general question about how Kinyan Chatzar works. Is Kinyan Chatzar a Maisa Kinyan, or is Kinyan Chatzar a Mitzios? If it's in my Rishos, it's mine inherently, because it's in my loading zone. We've got several Nafkaminos. One Nafkamino would be how Avir works. One Nafkamino would be how Kalim works. We talked about that last week, how Dalan Amos works. So in terms of our mega question, how does Chatzar work, we have to somehow link this up to Avir. But let's first dig into Avir. Excuse the mixed metaphor. Let's dig into Avir and let's see how Avir works. Did you see another Rishon before we get back to some of the Nafkaminos who either speaks in a language that's similar to the Ran or speaks in a language that's similar to Rashi? Which other Rishon did we see? The Rashba. And the Rashba doesn't just give us language, he gives us an interesting Nafkamina, which would have been very, very complicated. It wouldn't have been on my top five list of Nafkaminos, but since he says it, we may as well discuss it. The Gemara in Kiddushin in Chofav is talking about being kohen an elephant. Exciting. Why is it exciting to learn Kiddushin being kohen an elephant? Either because you're a zoologist and you like elephants, which I like elephants. Elephants are very interesting. They're probably the animal closest to expressing emotions. At least many animals may have emotions, but they seem to express emotions. But why am I excited about discussing elephants today? Because the Radinskis are here and there's a zoo in West Hempstead. Probably not. Hanukkah. Hanukkah's in the air. Why am I talking about Hanukkah? Anyone help me here? The Greeks, yes. The Greeks, they introduce these very ferocious elephants. Elephants are not just animals you watch in the zoo. Can you imagine stampeding elephants? There's no way to defeat them. Actually, they found ways to defeat them, but then they found countermeasures. But elephants have very, very soft legs. That's the weak point of an elephant. So they used to arrive in the battle scene the night before and put out little stakes and knives and nails and little pits, and the elephants would fall in. So they found a way to defeat them. But certainly, initially, it was terrifying. How could you defeat these ferocious, rampaging elephants? Remember, elephants would take you. These were elephants that were trained. They weren't just stampeding elephants. They would take you by their trunks, grab you, toss you into the air, and spear you with their ivory horns. So these were very, very ferocious animals. And Elazar HaMakabi, one of the Chashmonaim, Elazar, was the first to kill an elephant. And the only way you could kill an elephant in those days, unless you'd been there ahead of time and set a trap, was to spear in the belly. But spearing in the belly means committing suicide. So Elazar HaMakabi committed suicide just to boost the morale of Am Yisrael, these elephants could be defeated. It was at a later stage. They didn't introduce them in the beginning. The first battles didn't include elephants. How many years did the Maccabee uprising take? 24 years. Very good. It didn't happen in 8 days. Happened over a course of 24 years, many, many battles. But at a certain point, when the Greeks took them a little more seriously, they started to bring elephants into the fore. So Elazar HaMakabi speared an elephant, and because of that, he died to commit suicide. So the community called Elazar, this would probably pass on the Mishalim, is named after Elazar HaMakabi. Because some of the battles, not the early battles, some of the mid-period battles took place in the Gush. Okay, near Dekoa and other places in the area. Okay. Anyway, so we're talking about how you cone an elephant. Let's say Elazar HaMakabi wants to be cone of the elephant before he kills it. You know, I'm Makabi not to kill anyone else's elephant. So the Gemara says, at least according to one position, Bechavile Zmaros, and according to one position, okay, Chavile Zmaros is when you hang moist branches from a stick and the elephant lunges up to grab those moist elements. It picks itself up to grab the moist elements. And your kona, by a non-contained hagbah. Normally hagbah is your kona is something by holding it in your hand. Here's hagbah, where it's not in your hand, you just cause something to exert anti-gravitational force. The elephant leaps up to grab the Chavile Zmaros. So what's the Rashba's question? You've performed the Kinyan Hagbah, but what do you have? What's the Rashba's question in Kiddushin, Chavav?
The Mocher has Avir.
The Mocher has Avir. So the Mocher has Avir should prevent your Kinyan Hagbah. Normally, Kinyan Hagbah, you don't have the Mocher has Avir because you're actually... Oh, are you recording this, Danny? Normally, the Mocher doesn't have Kinyan Hagbah because I'm holding the item in my hand. When I'm holding something in my hand, it's not in the Avir of the Mocher. It's in my hand. But here, where I'm causing hagbah without my holding it, so while it's lifting anti-gravitationally, so it's in the chatzir of the mocher. So how come the chatzir, the avir of the mocher, doesn't block my kinyan hagbah when it's not contained in my hand? And the Rashba has a question, leaves it as a question. Now, while he asks this question, who wants to read the Rashba from your Makara sheet? While he asks the question, how does he define avir? Like Rashi or like the Ran? Rashi, read the line. Since it's in the avir of the mocher, the animal's in the avir of the mocher, assuming you went into the mocher's reshus to buy the elephant, since it's in the avir of the mocher, what does he say? The magic word, sofel enoch kenoch dami. So not only, here's the chiddush of the Rashba, who can fill out my sentence, not only does the Rashba define avir like Rashi, but he has a big chiddush, which makes more sense according to Rashi than it does according to the Ran. Yossi, what's the Rashba's chiddush?
Even if it's in Mokhri's avir, it could still be...
Sharpen it. That avir is not just... Avir is also... Fill in the blanks. Avir is not just... Avir also... Avir chatzer isn't just used for... It's also used for... I'll think about it for a minute. I can use avir not just to acquire something if it falls into my avir. I can also blavent. I can also blavent something. I can blavent your kinyan. If you're making a kinyan hagbah, which normally means Rafi is contained in your hand, but here's a kinyan hagbah that isn't contained in your hand. So my avir isn't just something that I can acquire something with, but my avir can also prevent your kinyan from occurring. So avir is not just a derech hakinyan, it's also a hafgas hakinyan. I can also be mafgir your kinyan. Which shita does that make more sense in? If someone were to argue on the Rashba and to say avir is not a kinyan blevention, avir is just a kinyan acquisition, who would you rather hold, like the Ran or Rashi? If you argue on the Rashba's premise that avir is not something that can block a kinyan, it's only something that can acquire a kinyan.
Like the Ran.
Well, according to the Ran, correct. Avir is, well, let's start, I asked it the wrong way, I apologize. Okay, let's reverse it because see people aren't following. If you hold that an object that's in my airspace is like it's on the ground, is avir only an acquisitional tool or it's also a blocking tool? Anything in the avir is like it's on the ground. It's also a blocker. If it's on the ground, then it blocks any kinyan. So not just is the avir something I can use to be kona, the avir is something I could use to block your kinyan. If the avir is a standalone space, as the Ran said, as Yossi said, then maybe it can also block, but maybe you could say it's a standalone space that I can use for acquisition, but it doesn't block your kinyan and the impact of your hagbah. So the best way to answer the Rashba's question is to say that Rashba held like Rashi. They both hold that when it's in the airspace, it's like it's on the ground. That's why the Rashba assume they can block a kinyan. If I hold it, it's like the Ran, that airspace itself is kona, because airspace is mine, and airspace creates a protection and a guarding. If we're not envisioning it as if it's on the ground, then I could disagree with the Rashba and say it only acquires, it doesn't block. So now we have three Rishonim. We have Rashi and the Ran and the Rashba and Kiddushin, who holds like Rashi. Again, keep in mind, you can't just learn the sugya. On your page, you have to see a Rashi in Bava Kamma, Rashi in Kiddushin, the Ran in Gittin. And we have one Nafka Mina. If you didn't understand the Nafka Mina so well, it's fine. But one Nafka Mina is Avir a Kinyan, or is Avir Gam Hafgas a Kinyan? Can my Avir acquire something for me? Or my Avir could also break your Kinyan because anything that's in my Avir is viewed as if it's on the ground and your Kinyan was ineffective. Well, I say it's not on the ground, it's in the airspace, and that gives me a certain control over it and a hold over it. But if you exert another form of control for your hagbah, my form of loose control by the airspace may not block your control by causing it to oppose gravitational force. Okay, so that's the question of the Rashba. Now we'll start to get to Nafka Minos and get to Dom.
According to the Ran, it seems like his kingdom of Avir is much more powerful. I don't understand why the Ran answers the Rashba's.
Okay, so let's leave it for now. Okay, let's leave it for now. Okay. What parameters are we going to discuss? Let's make a list of issues we're going to discuss. Number one, trajectory. What type of trajectory do you need in order to be kona with kinyan avir? Who is the first person to talk about trajectory? Trick question. What? Rava, right? What does Rava talk about? Nope. What do we call that? Abstracted into a word? What happens if the item has a trajectory that is? Vertical, basically. Horizontal, excuse me, horizontal. What if the trajectory is horizontal? I throw something through a chatzer and it never really has a vertical trajectory. It just flies through the chatzer horizontally. I throw it through the chatzer, in one door, out the other door. Am I konen? What's the second issue of trajectory that we speak about? In which Gemara speaks about it? Not where it's horizontal, but where it's vertical. But the Gemara deconstructs the vertical trajectory into? Aliyah and Yerida. Am I konen during the upward trajectory or only during the downward trajectory? That's the Gemara in Gidden. We'll see that a little bit later. What else is the Gemara talked about? So one qualification, one nafkamina, one arrow you have to explore is what trajectory of the item is sufficient for the aver to be kone. What's another aspect the Gemara talks about? What? Klei mafsik, but that's the secondary issue above Metzia. What issue does the Gemara in Gittin highlight? The role of? Okay, but the Gemara doesn't talk about an application. Well, it talks about it, but it doesn't really have any big chidush. And what's the first issue the Gemara wants to explore? The function of mechitzos. What role do the mechitzos of the airspace play? So we'll take a look at mechitzos. Then we'll take a look at what happens if there's a hefsek between the item and the karka. That's going to be really revelatory. Then we'll speak about upward or downward trajectory. Then we'll talk about the avir of the dalet amos. That's what the Gemara talks about on ayin ches and beis. And then tomorrow we'll talk about conflicting mechitzos. If you have a chatzer betocha chatzer or ki kli betocha kli. So just to give ourselves a map of how we're going to study this sugya, as we say so often, just to identify the issues we want to explore can give us some clarity as we proceed. Okay, so let's start with Rava. What's Rava's question in Bava Metzia? Bava Metzia Yud Beis. Let's open up our Bava Metzias. Who has a Bava Metzia? Show of hands. Who bought a Bava Metzia? Okay, good, good. Let's try to look in. Bava Metzia Yud Beis Zimun Aleph. Volunteers, Shmuel, you want to read the Gemara for us? Send the Gemara. Okay, Bava Metzia Yud Beis. Who has a Gemara that wants to volunteer that hasn't read in a while? Okay. Take out one of the qualifications. Okay. Who hasn't read in a while? We'll give you a Gemara. And wants to read. Okay, don't make eye contact. It's bad to make eye contact. Stephen, go ahead. Yeah, I get that. Give him a Metzia. Okay. There's evidently, there's a famous story in Rabbi Soloveitchik Shir that there was a guy, and when the Rav called on you, he was terrified because he really ripped you to pieces. Rav Aaron would call on you and be very sweet about it. It was equally terrifying because you're sitting in front of Rav Aaron. But the Rav, if you didn't say it the right way, I mean, this was, I was speaking to a rabbi over Shabbos. He says, you know, these days, that's all the Talmidim speak about. Kesher with the Rebbe, Kesher with the Rebbe. I want a Rebbe who's warm to me. I want a Rebbe who says, in our day, we want to actually learn from our Rebbe. No one had a Kesher with the Rebbe. We just were thrilled when the Rebbe tore us to pieces. And he would curse you out and call you a ferret, which is a Yiddish word for donkey, and he would make fun of you in the Shir. But, oh, wow, the Rebbe's making fun of me. It's developing. Anyway, so there was someone who came to Shir every day, and evidently he sat behind Rav Shechter, basically would hide behind Rav Shechter every day. You know, the Rebbe would call and he'd be like, okay, you call. And every day Rav Shechter got to read. One day Rav Shechter was absent, so the Rebbe had a beeline right, looking right at him. So he called at him and said, whatever, Stephen, read. And the guy lied. He said, Stephen's not here today, he told the Rebbe. So he said, okay, so you read. The guy got there. So he caught him in the lie. So Stephen, go ahead. It's not that frightening. Read the Gemara above and see your days. Bye, Rava. Okay. So first of all, the language is interesting. Avir she'ein sofa l'noach, which again in English just translates as horizontal rather than vertical. Vertical is sofa l'noach, horizontal is ein sofa l'noach. To just be able to abstract the terminology. Avir she'ein sofa l'noach, remember, Chazal didn't have as rich a vocabulary, so they could use the words horizontal and vertical. Sofa l'noach, ein sofa l'noach, a clearer way to say it is vertical, horizontal. Sometimes when you get these little terms, it makes it easier to understand rather than using ambiguous terms. So horizontally thrown items, items that are in horizontal movement through an airspace, he's not sure whether you're kone. I don't know, like, start scratching your hair, those of you who took a shower this morning. All two of you, right? What's Rava asking? Why should you need vertical trajectory? Why should horizontal trajectory be sufficient? Like, what would Rava's question be? What did Rava want to know that day when he went into the Beis Medrash? He knew that Avri was kone. So vertical trajectory is kona, falling, rising, we'll see different stages of verticality. He wants to know whether horizontal items in horizontal movement are nikna. Avir shein sofel enoch. What do you think his question was? What was his question, Yaakov?
Is it, if it's going horizontal, is it considered to be sofel
enoch? Okay, we'll see that in a few moments, but abstract it more. Hint, hint, look at the board. Who is Rav asking? I know that Avir is kone, I want to know. Danny?
Is it only kone because of Olenuach, or is it kone because of the Avir itself?
Right. Do I hold like
Shimran?
Or do I hold like
Rashi?
Machlokes, Rashi and the Ran was really the question that Rav introduced to his Talmidim that day in the base matters. I know that Avir is kone, that I know is as a baseline. Why is Avir kone? Is Avir kone like Rashi because we view it as having landed already? Then only if it's in vertical motion, only if it's on the way down. Do I view Avir as a standalone kinyan, as the Ran says, because Rosh Hashanah is Ola Ad LaShamayim, so the airspace is considered owned by the Baal HaChatzer and it can be koneh by protected airspace, then who cares how the item is motioning through the protected airspace? So the simplest way to read Rava, it may not be the only way, but the simplest way to read Rava is that Rava was asking our question. Remember, we always try to read Machlokas Rishonim back into Amarayim. The Amarayim knew it so implicitly, they didn't have to articulate it. He could just walk into the shiur room and snap his fingers and say, Avir and Sofel Lenuach, and everyone right away knew, oh, Rebbe must be asking how Kinyan Avir works. Does it work Kimunach Dami, or does it work as if the Avir is a standalone Kinyan? And that was his question. Namely, when Rava asked the question, here's Rava's question. Avir, Sha'ein, Sofo, Lenuach, he may have been asking, how does Avir work? If Avir works basically as Rashi, Kimunach, then he would say that Ein Sofa Lanuach would not work. However, if, let me get a better magic marker. However, if Avir is Ole Avir, Kinyan Avir Be'atzmo Not Sofa Lanuach, as Afilu Ein Sofa Lanuach Yekona, because the only it's in the airspace, who cares whether it's going up or down? So it would seem to be that the simplest way to recover is that he's asking this question. Can anyone argue with what I said? Can anyone say that Rava was, as Yaakov was suggesting, taking one of the logics and asking a sub-question or sharpening that logic? What would you say, Eitan? What was Rava saying?
It sounds like he's assuming Rashi.
Sounds like, Eitan says, he's assuming Rashi. Namely?
He's saying, he's really asking,
he's assuming like Rashi that what? That items in flight are already considered grounded.
Yeah.
Question is, can we call it grounded?
If it's flying horizontally.
Correct. That's what Yaakov was suggesting, I think. That's what you implied. From the language, it sounds a little bit different. From the language, and we'll see there's another Rava in Bava Metzia Kofes we'll have to deal with. But from the language, it sounds like the logic, I would say, it splits along Rashi and the Ran. If you asked me, Avir Shein Sofa Lenuach, I would say, that is Rashi and the Ran. If you hold that items in flight are grounded, only vertical flight. If you hold items in flight or nikna, then anything in flight, anything in the airspace of the chatzer. But Eitan sounds like Rava is assuming Rashi, that items in the airspace are considered grounded. He wanted to know only items in vertical motion, Avir Shein Sofa Lenuach, or even items in horizontal motion, Avir Shein Sofa Lenuach. Read the language again for us, Eitan. Mahu?
Mahu Avir Shein Sofa Lenuach, Munach Tami Yolach.
Right, so it's a vague enough language you could read it like me, but if you read the language very, very literally, it sounds like he's not asking a general macro question about the nature of Kinyan Avir. He's rather asking about how we define items that are in horizontal motion rather than vertical motion. Can anyone disagree with me and Eitan and say that Rava was assuming the Ran and still asking a question? A little more difficult. Rava was assuming that items are nikna in the actual airspace, not because we view them as having landed already. But he wanted to know, are items that are in Avishai are in not constant motion, but are in horizontal. There's no difference in the velocity of the motion when you throw it vertically or horizontally, but there are items that are in horizontal motion, whether
if it doesn't stop at all.
Doesn't stop at all, they considered it's harder. What would you say, no?
I mean, the difference is that with vertical, it's always in average shift. So you have like the amount of time.
So abstract, what are you saying? Avir is kone, but Rava's question was, items that are in sofa lenuach and horizontal movement, are they really affiliated with the airspace? Because it's just in the airspace in a very, very transient fashion. Let's say this is the airspace. Items that are on their way down are deeply affiliated with the airspace. Items that are moving transition through are just passing through, as we would say. It's a little bit harder. But at least in theory, I want you to be able to make sense of Rava, whether he assumes the Ran, whether he assumes Rashi, this is what Eitan said,
Or Rava may be asking your question.
If I hold like Rashi, then I have to view items as grounded, then only Avish is Sofa Lenuach. If I hold like the Ran, then even items ain't Sofa Lenuach. So our first question is Rava. We're going to have to go back to Rava Eitan when we see Rava and Bav Metzia Kofes, but at least for now, one possible way to read Rava is that he's asking Rashi the Ran's question. Eitan feels that he's assuming Rashi, but asking whether items that are in horizontal movement, can we view them as having been grounded already? Okay. Next question, the role of Mechitzas. Who wants to read the Gemara? Stephen decided to run away, so who's going to read the Gemara in Stephen's place? Yitzi Tanner, go ahead. You have a gittin?
Yeah.
Read the Gemara. Daf Ayin Tesem and Aleph. The Gemara wants to know, how could you be kona with the avir of a chatzir in the case of the woman standing on the gog? What's the Gemara's question, Ayin Tes? Ayin Tesem and Aleph, yeah? V'halo minta. Doesn't have Mechitzas protecting it. So what does the Rehuda quote Shmuel as? What does that mean? Right, that has a parapet, that has mechitzas protecting it. In the same case where she's in the chatzer, the walls of the chatzer are very, very high. The walls are high. It's a metaphor for life. You got to make sure you don't get caught in walls that are too high to see beyond. Okay. Why do you need protected airspace? Airspace that's within enclosed walls. Why is the Gemara so concerned with airspace that isn't minter? What would you say, Shmuel?
Because then the get can't fly out.
Right. Then why do we care? That's the description. Why is that an important criteria? What aspect of the halacha, what functionality does it provide, walls and protection? So what's the simplest shot? Why do you need the airspace to be protected, Mark? Okay, but that's not the simple shot. What would you say, having known Chatzer Akiva? Because one of the qualifications for Kenyan Chatzer, which we haven't really been talking about so much, because it's more Bav Metzia land, we can't really open up all above Metzia. What is one of the basic qualifications for Chatzer? You need a Chatzer? Mishtameres. The Chatzer has to be protected. Something about a Chatzer means the item has to be protected rather than open and exposed. So maybe the Gemara requires protected airspace because, just like a chatzah, the airspace has to protect the item. Who says this? Which Rishon says the need for walls and the concern for airspace that is unwalled and exposed is because it's not Mishtamer. Who says this?
The Ravid.
The Hasagas Ravid on the Rif. Let's open up the Hasagas Ravid on the Rif. Let's see it inside. We haven't seen that many Hasagas Ravids, but let's see it together. Page Lamitasim and Beis. Which page is it? Or Mem and Aleph? Lamitasim and Beis. Okay. Four lines from the bottom. The Alze Hikshu, the Halo Minter. Okay, Danny, you'll help our guests find it. Lamitasim and Beis. Four lines from the bottom. The Alze Hikshu, the Halo Mintar. Klomar. She can't protect it while it's on the chatzer. It can fly out, Shmuel, as you said. But why? And therefore, the Gemara is making ukimta hutzuchu lahamid begag sheish lo maka uvemechitzos hatachtonos ofos al elyonos. I'm sorry, I missed the line. Let's read a few lines earlier. The ikashilcha, haisal medes barosh agag, v'chein hu milmal v'hi milmanta, demakshi alev halo mintar. Why is the Gemara asking lo mintar? If the woman's standing there, she can watch it. Who cares whether it's mintar? Kivan shi omedes barosh gag v'chasera, lamala de mintar. V'akol dihi betok v'shusa, if she's standing there and she can watch it, you don't need the chatzir to watch it. Lo boi chatzir mishtameres. Lo kasha. Nihi de lo boi chatzir mishtameres, if she's standing there, you don't need chatzim shameres. The alzeh hekshu, and therefore the Gemara is asking, halo mintar, namely in the case of the gog, she can't watch it because it's too big a gog and the wind is too strong and she can't watch it. Namely, the only question the Gemara had was, assuming she can't watch it, it's too big a gog, the wind is too strong, therefore, halomintar, we need mechitzas to provide the mishtameres that she can provide. The Ravid, again, is a larger Ravid. The Ravid discusses you don't need a chatzah mishtameres when the woman or the baal chatzah can perform the mishmira. And the only reason the Gemara was concerned with the lack of walls in the airspace is because the gog in the chatzah was either too big or too uncontrollable, and therefore we needed mechitzas to provide mishtameres. Namely, according to the Ravid, why do you need mechitzas in Avir in order to provide a chatzah mishtameres? Can anyone try to intuit what the Ravid holds, like the Ran or Rashi? If you need the airspace to be mishtameres, what does he hold? Like Rashi, that the ground is doing the kinyan, and we view it as if it's landed, or like the Ran, that the airspace is doing the kinyan? Tani? Sounds like the Ran. If the Ravid were a hardcore Rashi adherent, and you view items in airspace as if they're grounded, you may not need protected airspace. All you would need was protected ground. You wouldn't need protected airspace, because anything that's in the airspace we view as having already landed. So it's likely, not necessary, it's likely that the Ravid held like Rashi, like the Ran, excuse me. The airspace itself is a chatzer that you own, and therefore we have to sculpt the airspace to look like a chatzer. Just like in a chatzer you need mishtameres, so too in an airspace you need mishtameres. Had the woman been able to guard the airspace, you wouldn't need walls. Since she can't guard the airspace, the Gemara says, halo minter, and the only solution is walls. So it sounds like the Ravid's definition of mechitzos would have him aligned with Rashi's view of the airspace, the Ran's view of the airspace, that the airspace itself is kona, and therefore the airspace has to protect it. So now we have a question. If you hold like Rashi, I'll answer your questions in 5 seconds. If you hold like Rashi and Bava Kamma, that items in the air are like they're landed on the ground, who needs airspace that's protected if the ground itself is protected? So if you're Rashi, you have to come up with a new way to view the need for walls and airspace, which, by the way, Rashi and Gittin does. Akiva.
Let's ask that question.
Okay, so what does Rashi say? What does Rashi say in Gittin? Why do you need protected airspace? Not in order to make the airspace protected, presumably because he holds like himself in Bava Kamma, the ground is doing the kinyan, and items in transition are landed on the ground. What is Rashi saying, Gittin, why do you need protected airspace, Elad?
To make sure that it's
Sofa Lanuach. To make sure that it's Sofa Lanuach. What does Rashi say, Elad? Read Rashi in the Ayin Tesamin Aleph. Everyone look in Rashi, Ayin Tesamin Aleph. And the Gemara says, if you don't have Bechitza, so you can't have kinyan Avir, what does Rashi say? V'halo Minter.
Avir God ati zika v'shadi le mikam d'leinach v'chilo shadi zika v'era lo davar acher shbakala v'kilto og shemim achku amai katan migreshet min avir habi'inan avir shesofa lanuach.
Habi'inan avir shesofa lanuach. Just like sofa lanuach may only exist when you have a vertical trajectory, not a horizontal one, Rava's question, Eitan in Bava Metzia. Another condition for sofa lanuach is, say it to me in English, not just the trajectory, but what else may determine Sofa Lanuach, our ability to envision the future as having already occurred? What? Say better. Boundaries is the object, but what function does the boundaries provide, Yaakov? Think. What?
Limited space.
Limited space provides what? What does Rashi say? Give me a good English word. Come on, study for your SATs. Give me a good SAT word.
Stability.
Better?
Guaranteed.
Guarantee, inevitability. Inevitability, it will happen. If it's within walls, it will definitely fall, right? Just like the only time you have kola omeid lasos is if it's inevitable. Rav Shimon only said kola omeid lisarik if it's inevitable, kola omeid lisarik. If it's something that can block it, then you don't have inevitability. That's why Rashi is very, very careful. Look at Rashi's language. When he describes mechitzos, he didn't just say you need mechitzos to watch them. According to Rashi, you need mechitzos because, what does Rashi say? V'chilo shad yazika, even if the wind doesn't get it, if you don't have mechitzos, yirlo davar acher, shebakel v'kopla. So Rashi needs mechitzos not to provide shmira, presumably because Rashi holds like himself that the air is not being kona, the ground's being kona, and the ground is protected, Shmuel. But in order to position an item in flight as if it's grounded, you need it to be inevitable. And only if you have mechitzos is it inevitable. Can anyone give me a nafgamina, halach l'maisa, between Rashi and the Ravid? Give me a case according to Rashi where you have inevitability without mechitzos, and you may be kona without mechitzos. It's according to the Ravid, you don't have inevitability, and therefore without mechitzos is not. I'm sorry, you need shmira. Give me an interesting case, Tani.
You're a really big fan in the chatzah.
What?
You're a really big fan in the chatzah.
In which case, what happens according to Rashi? or blowout, even with mechitzas. So you're saying here's with mechitzas. But if you have a really big fan, it's not protected either, so it's not so cool. Really big fan doesn't protect it. Give me another case where it's inevitable, even though it's not protected. Something.
On the moon, there's no wind.
Okay. How about a real case for human beings, not for Martians? You see.
Do you use some form of good
asik? Okay. Interesting. Okay. We have some very, very creative people in this share room. Good asik, which we normally use for Shabbos and Sukkah, and you want to use for Kenyan. Interesting. I never thought of good asik for Kenyan. But it's something to think about, maybe to write a sefer about. You see, I write your sefer, Minchas Yitzchak. It's already, the name's already taken, but you're going to have Minchas Yitzchak to say. Anyone know who wrote Minchas Yitzchak? Who was the Dayan? Minchas Yitzchak was? Yitzchak Yaakov Weiss, one of the big Dayanim of the previous generation in Yerushalayim. Yitzchak Yaakov Weiss, it's used a lot in Halachic Psak. Minchas Yitzchak. So you can't call your sefer Minchas Yitzchak, you'd say. And you can't call it Pachad Yitzchak. It's already taken. Well, think of other words, okay? But give me an interesting nafkamina where it will definitely land even though it's not protected. Now, I want to actually talk about this.
A clear sunny day and you know the forecast has absolutely no wind.
Okay, no wind, so it's definitely going to land even though it's not protected, but you can say that the fact that there's no wind makes it protected because protection is an objective, but it's an interesting thing. If there's no wind, what would you say, Stephen?
Maybe if the floor space is gigantic.
Very good. What if the object is very heavy? What if the object I'm throwing, was that what she said?
Yeah,
I understand. You always get it right. What if I throw an anvil into your rishus, like from the cartoons? You know, Woody Woodpecker throws an anvil, or is he normally getting it, or he gets it? Someone throws an anvil into Woody Woodpecker's rishus. So in terms of inevitability, Rashi, you have it, without mechitzos. In terms of protection, in theory, it could be taken, but if it's so heavy, maybe it's protected. But the Chorim want to say that inevitability could be mocked or mimicked by something being very heavy, which will definitely fall, a magnetic force drawing it down. Anyway, that's just to help you see the difference between Rashi, who requires mechitzos to provide inevitability, or the Ravid, who desires mechitzos to provide protected airspace. But I want you to see the parallel between the machlokas Rashi and the Ravid, and the machlokas Rashi and the Ram. Rashi holds, someone fill in the blanks, what's Kona, the space or the ground?
Ground.
And therefore you need mechitzos to assure groundedness. Ravid holds, presumably, that what's Kona, the airspace or the ground?
Yes.
And you need mechitzos to protect the airspace like the Ram. Very good. I want to introduce a third way to read mechitzos. Who describes the third way to read mechitzos? And you'll tell me what he holds, like Rashi or like the Ram. Who provides a third one? We're going to use this often tomorrow. Taras Gittin, written by? Who wrote the Taras Gittin? Of Yaakov Milisa, otherwise known as the Baal Nesivos HaMishpat, of Yaakov Leuberboin, early Poland, 18th century. I'm sure you probably really, well, like must have quoted Nesivos by now. He hasn't quoted Nesivos to you? There's a very famous, famous sefer on Bava Metzia, Nesivos. Anyone know the other sefer that Nesivos wrote? He wrote the Nesivos HaMishpat on Choshen Mishpat. He wrote the Taras Gittin on Gittin. What? No, that's the Bionis and Ibishitz wrote the Urim Turmin on Choshen Mishpat. Kihilos Yaakov, not that I'm aware of. I mean, I think the second part of Taras Gittin may be called Kihilos Yaakov, but we call it Taras Gittin. Maybe you call it Kihilos Yaakov. But his name was Yaakov. He wrote a sefer on Pesachim, which we'll use in Mirtz Hashem when we move over to Pesachim in Adar Aleph Chok Yaakov. Pesachim. He wrote a Haggadah called Masa Nisim, an interesting Haggadah on Pesach. He wrote a very, very landmark sefer on Dinei Yoredeya called Chavos Das. It ends up being a very big machmir. He wrote a sefer on Migo. After the Shach wrote his collection of Migo, he's probably talking about Migo already. He wrote a sefer, a collection of Inyan Migo. Of course, his most famous sefer is the Nesivos HaMishpat, in which he interacts with the Ktzos. So this is his probably second most famous sefer, the Taras Gittin. What does he say? Why do you need mechitzos? He tries to be daigit from a Rashba. I didn't see it in the Rashba, but whether it's true or not in the Rashba, it's an interesting concept. Why do you need mechitzos? Not to provide protected airspace, like the Ravid. Not to provide inevitable grounding, like Rashi. To provide what?
To be
magdered
as
agur. Excellent. English word?
To define it as air.
Very good. Affiliate is probably a better word. Define as too general. What affiliates airspace is mine? Is it just physics? Anything above my land is mine? Or I have to actually claim the airspace? I have to do something to make it my airspace? Is open airspace considered as, let's say, we tend to view that it's the airspace of the United States, the airspace of Vietnam, the airspace of Russia, the airspace of Israel? Or it's only airspace if it's framed, identified, affiliated, if it's enclosed. So you don't need enclosure to protect the item, like the Raifat says. You don't need enclosure to assure inevitable grounding, like Rashi says. You just need enclosure in order to create tagging, affiliation, identification, definition. It's airspace that has been appropriated, that has been associated, rather than just airspace that's natural, part of the natural world. So we'll see this tomorrow when you have competing airspaces. Chatzer b'toch chatzer. Think about it when you prepare your makaros today. Kli b'toch kli. What defines airspace as airspace? Can airspace that's far from me be tagged as mine? Can airspace that's mine be tagged as something else? So we'll talk about the fungibility of airspace tomorrow on the Avayin test. And I'll give you a little cheat sheet for tomorrow. But the Nesivo says you don't need mechitzos to provide protection or inevitable grounding. You need mechitzos in order to affiliate the airspace with the chatzer. What do you think the Nesivos holds, like Rashi or like the Ran? What's Kona, the ground or the airspace? He doesn't say this, but can anyone climb into his mind? What is his mind working under? Rashi-like assumptions or the Ran-like assumptions? Rashi-like assumptions or the Ravid in terms of how to define Kenyan Chatzar? Stephen, I'm not going to listen to what you're saying. Says like the Ran, that Avir is Kona. You say you can say, right? You can. Goes like the Ran, that Avir is Kona. If he held like Rashi, the ground is Kona. Who really needs to define airspace? It's a function of the object in vertical motion towards the ground that we view halachically as grounded already. Why do I have to define the airspace as my airspace? As long as it's vector along my ground and it's inevitable mark, it's going to fall on my ground. What do I care whether halachically the airspace is defined as mine? So trying to define the airspace as part of my chatzer, as an area that I can use as my kinyan, may be reflective of the Ran, less of Rashi in Bava Kamma and less of the Rashba. So we'll talk about this tomorrow. The Nesivos provides an alternate need for mechitzos. The Rosh, the Raivah talked about Mishtamer. Again, guys, listen carefully to what I'm about to say. The big lacuna in this sugya, the big black hole that we really haven't discussed so much, and it keeps coming up again and again, is defining the role of Mishtamer. Why do you need Mishtamer? What role does Mishtamer play? That's really centered in Bava Metzia. To discuss that, we need 2 weeks to really get into Mishtamer. So why does the Raivah need Mishtamer for Avir? Should it need Mishtamer? Should it be on the ground like Mishtamer? We just can't open that box because it's just too big for us to deal with right now. But as best as we can, let's assume Mishtamer is a fundamental critical element of a Chatzer, and the Raivah there superimposes it on Avir because he views the Avir as an autonomous Chatzer. If you viewed the Avir as just a trajectory down, you wouldn't need Mishtamer on the Avir. The Nesivos seems to require not Mishtamir on the Avir, but tagging on the Avir, which opens up a whole new logical pathway to understand how to tag airspace, which creates some flexibility, how to create my airspace, even though, no, it's not just above me. The Nesivos is saying, listen carefully to what I'm about to say. The Nesivos is saying, just because it's on top of me doesn't make it my airspace. It has to be enclosed. So ultimately, the Nesivos is questioning, how does something become my airspace? How does something become my ground? I'm Conan. How does something become my air? It's Hashem's air. It's Hashem's ground also, but ground is something you can be Kona. Why can't you make a kinyan on airspace? What do we call that? Ein adam makne davar sheh ein bo mamash. I can't really make a kinyan on airspace. This is the deep dive into the Nesivos' logic. How do I make airspace mine? I can be Kona land from you. Karka niknes b'shlosha drachim, kesef, shtar and chazaki. You can't perform a maisa kinyan on airspace. If all of a sudden I've got a bakery, Tani, you come in and stand right next to my resource and you smell the delicious bread coming from my bakery. Oh, you can't smell my your gossip. You can't, it's airspace. I can't control my airspace. I'll sell you the right to smell my air. I can. So all of a sudden, what's the closest we have for airspace being a halachically quantifiable object? It's an abstract question. Can anyone answer? Where do we see airspace being quantified in halacha? Give me some areas. Shabbos, okay, but give me closer to where do you find airspace being a quantifiable element that can be dealt with through kinyanim and non-kinyanim? Okay, so first of all, Shabbos is airspace in general. Olas, if it shares the same airspace as Tuma can be conveyed by shared airspace. But more in the world of kinyanim, the first two parakim of Bava Basra. Can I build a wall to cover your airspace near your window? The question of harcha. Anyone ever learn the first two parakim of Bava Basra? They're not very popular. Anyone learn Bava Basra in high school? No, learn Bava Basra in high school? Wow, what a cry. Bava Basra said a beautiful, beautiful masechta. Incredible. Okay, so when most people learn it, they learn the third parak, which describes proving land ownership. We call that parak. Start to learn some of our parakim Bava Cheska Sabatim. What's the first parak of Bava Basra called? Let's give us a little bit of practice. What? Hashutafim. It describes laws of partners. And it describes laws of Hezek Riyah. Can I block your sign of vision, your light ability? Can I build a wall next to your window? Remember, before electricity, the primary source of light was your son. Anyone visit shuls in Europe? Where are the windows in ancient shuls? High up, in order to provide maximum sunlight. For us, windows are just for beauty, for aesthetics, for looking at landscapes, get fresh air. For them, windows are primary sources of light. So if I build a wall near your window, I'm depriving you of light and breathing room, obviously, but also of light. So the second parak talks about, in particular, not just blocking airspace. What's the name of the second parak? Lo yachbor. I let it dig near your area and create weakened ground by putting a tree. So the first two parakim in general talk about laws of neighbors, how neighbors get along. Can I plant mustard seeds where I'll ruin your bees because your bees will eat my mustard seeds and get a tummy ache? And can I plant a tree near your pit? Can I put a pit near your tree? There's interesting halachas because they're not really mazik. Mazik means when I damage you or my animal damages you. Here it's graman. I'm just creating indirect impact upon you. Anyway, so that's the nesivos. The nesivos is really gauging how do I turn airspace into mine? But he's opening up a whole new way of thinking. Can I turn other airspaces? If, listen to this sentence, if vectoring isn't sufficient to create it as my airspace, I don't just need vectoring, I need walls, then maybe I don't need vectoring at all. I can create airspace that's mine, even though it's not on top. So if vectoring isn't sufficient to create it as my airspace, I need something else, and maybe vectoring is irrelevant, and I can create airspace that's mine, even when it's not on top of me. So we'll see that Emirat Hashem tomorrow. Be'ezus Hashem. Okay. What's the next issue we want to explore? Not the role of mechitzels, but there's a hefsek between the item and the ground. So close your eyes and tell me, why should a hefsek between the item and the ground matter? Why should it block Kenyan out there? Should it be a bigger problem for Rashi or a bigger problem for the Ran? It's in the airspace, but there's something being mafsik between the item and the ground. So just close your eyes, make sure, make believe you never heard of a Gemara. What would Rashi say? What would the Ran say? The Ran would say, problem or no problem?
No problem.
No problemo, if you were Spanish. What would Rashi say? Problem. Big problem, because it's not something. In order, and I'll say it in logic, in order for something to be grounded, you don't just need verticality. And you don't just need inevitability, you also need?
Lack of obstruction.
Excellent. You need some degree of proximity. You need some degree of physical proximity that isn't obstructed by a foreign item. Hefsek, chatzitza. According to the Ran, who cares about a chatzitza? You're not trying to create association between the object and the land. You're just trying to create a contained object in the airspace. Who cares whether it's obstructed from the land? Very good. So, in the Gemara above Metzia, well, what's the scenario of the Gemara above Metzia? I know, start making faces. What happens if? Right. Let's say an animal comes into a chatzer and starts to deposit its waste. Who owns the waste? We would think that's a gory question, disgusting question. In those days, it was used for fertilizer. And in our days, if you travel about 5 minutes, don't worry, there's a machzom in between, but if you travel to the Arab village 10 minutes down the road, what would they be using excrement for?
Fuel.
You can smell it. You can still smell it. It's really terrible. I mean, you get used to it, but they use it as fuel. So, yeah, thanks. Thanks for the image, Rabbi. Okay. I was going to run home for their air fresheners at the order room. Okay, so they use it as fuel. So excrement was a valuable element in those days, not just for fertilizer, but also for fuel. So who owns the excrement in a chatzer, the Baal HaChatzer or the Baal HaBehema? Let's see the Gemara Bav Mesia Kuf Beis Mera. We always like to note the offset between the topic we're learning and the logic we're learning. The topic seems irrelevant, the logic is crucial. If you understand that Gemara is about learning logic, not topics, logic of Hashem's Ratzon, then it's important. If you just think it's topics, why would the Gemara want to talk about that, right? So if you tell your parents, what did you learn today? You learned who owns animal excrement. I'm paying all this money for you to go to yeshiva to learn about who owns animal excrement. If you learn Gemara, you realize that this is just the case of Hashem's Ratzon, that it's a hieroglyph to something a little bit deeper. The Bav Metzia Kuf Beis Amid Aleph. Okay. Here's a really cool. I'll just throw something out there in a minute and you'll see. To me, if you make 15 connections, you can connect Bav Metzia Kuf Beis to get in Chaf Aleph. We'll see this in a second. The Bay Gemara says, Amai, Hareu Shiloh, Abir Chatzerehu. Why is, that's the Gemara's question, why is the Socher Kona? No, that couldn't be the question. I didn't see the Gemara. I just put it on the chorus. What's the Gemara's question? Right. Hakolei mina avir. If someone were to come in and grab the excrement on the way down in a kli, harei ushilav. So the Gemara wants to know, why is the collector kona avir chatzero? The owner of the chatzer should be kona because it was in his avir. So Amar Abaye, Abaye says, b'mad b'kli b'shulei para. You fasten your kli, the collector fastens his kli to the hind quarter of the animal so that the excrement never hits the avir chatzer. So it already comes into my kli before it hits your avir. You own the chatzer, I'm the zevel collector. I contain it in the kli before it hits the avir. I literally scoop up right in the animal's anus and get the excrement as quickly as possible. So that makes sense. Rava Amar, Rava says, avir she'ein sofo lanuach lav kimunach dami. Or it says, what do you mean? That was your question. How could you be so sure? The Gemara says, Hasam lo mifsik velo midi. Hacha mifsik kli. So Rava says that a hefsik kli would ruin kinyan avir. If there's an obstruction between the avir, between the object and the ground, you won't have kinyan avir. Abaye doesn't say that. Abaye is the only way Abaye could answer this brisa that says the conductor is kona, is to say never hit the avir. Madbit kli lebehema. So what could the machlokas in theory, let's say you didn't know Baba Metzia, you'd beis and Rav. What were the machlokas between Abaye and Rava and Baba Metzia kuf beis? Rava feels that hefsek kli ruins kinyan avir. Abaye says, in theory, hefsek kli doesn't ruin kinyan avir. And the only way to ruin kinyan avir, Shmuel, is say there was no avir, as you put it into the animal's quarter and never hit the avir. Why should hefsek kli ruin avir? Why should it not ruin avir? Pashtus?
Ron Rashi.
Who holds like whom? Rava holds like?
Rashi.
Namely, avir is konu because you view it as having been grounded, kimunach dami. And what blocks kimunach dami? Hefsek kli. Abaye holds like? The Ron. And what's kona, Danny? The avir. Who cares about hefsek kli? The only way for Abaye to explain why the kli holder is kona is not because his kli was mafsik, preventing the avir of the mocher's chatzer. The reason the kli is kona is because they never hit the avir of the mocher's chatzer. So this would be the simplest way to understand the machlokas Abaye and Rava. By the way, guys, did we have any other machlokas in Abaye and Rava about the nature of chatzer? Getting chavala. Remember that machlokas? We really didn't go into it in too much detail. Can you be kona with a chatzer which wasn't yours before the transaction? Can I give you the chatzer as part of the transaction? At some level, guys, if you really knew each of these two sugyas well enough, we'd want to connect the two statements of Abaye and Rava. Because what's the common denominator? These are two statements about which notion? About the notion of kinyan. Chatzer. Somehow Abaye had a position of kinyan chatzer that on the one hand made him feel like you have to own the chatzer before the transaction begins, gin chaf aleph. And also, his definition of kinyan chatzer led him to a Ron-like view of kinyan avir chatzer, which means that hefsek kli doesn't make a difference, which means that he had to have some ukimtan bav mitziah kof beis to explain why the kli guy is kona, not the bala chatzer. Somehow, there are two statements that are corollaries of chatzah. You'd really have to know your sugyas really well, but we want to connect. Who could possibly connect in their right minds, gittin chaf aleph, to bav mitziah kuf beis? Gittin chaf aleph is talking about chatzah you didn't own before the transaction, bayin rava. Bav mitziah kuf beis is talking about how can you be kona glalim rather than with your kli, rather than allowing the bala chatzah to be kona with his avir. Somehow, these are two statements a lot about kinyan chatzah that we'd want to link up to some broader logic. Hence the power of lambdas, to link and unify topics that seem totally different into the same logic, into the same ideas. Okay? So in theory, can anyone reject this? In theory, who does Rava hold like again? Rava holds that a kli is mafsik between the land and the object, yunat kona ave. Who does Rava hold like? Rashi or the Ron?
Rashi.
Abaye holds a hefsek kli. Would it make a difference? Who does he hold like? The Ron. Now we have a problem. If Rava holds like Rashi, what's our problem? And that's why hefsek kli blocks kinyan avir. What's our problem?
Why is he a suffolk when it goes?
Why does he have a suffolk in Bava Metzia? Why does he have a suffolk about horizontal items? If he holds like Rashi, shouldn't horizontal... 1 second, Eitan. I'll hear what you have to say. Remember, let's draw it on the board. Make it very clear. We have two Gemaras. One Gemara is Avir She'ein Sofo Lanuach. This is Rava's question. This he has a question. And we wanted to say, if he holds that Kinyan Avir, then you're Kona. If he holds Kimunach Dami, you're not kona. If he holds like the Ron, you're kona by horizontal. If he holds like Rashi, you're not kona. And he had a suffix, he wasn't sure. But if he holds like Rashi, you're the Ron. Then we have a question whether Hefsik Kli is Mevatel Kinyan Avir. Hefsik Kli is Mevatel Kinyan Avir. And according to Rava, it is Mafsik Umevatel. According to Abaye, it's not Mafsik and you're Kona. We wanted to say that according to, so let's switch it around, Rava Mafsik Umevatel Hakinyan. According to Abaye, Eino Mevatel Hakinyan. Rava holds it's Kimunach, and therefore the Kinyan is Batel by Hefsik Kli. Abaye holds it's Avir Atzmon, it's not Batel. So if we're affiliating Rava with the Kimunach, with Rashi Shita, how could you then have a suffix whether Rashi or the Ran is right and not know about Avir Shein Sofa Lenuach? So we have to change one of these two tables. Eitan changed this table. Eitan felt, and I'll write it in red, that Rava's question in Bav Metzia, Yud Beis, was not whether Rashi or the Ran is correct. He held that Rashi is correct, Kimunach. But do you say Kimunach by Avir Shein Sofo Lanuach Kimunach? Oh, Lav Kimunach. Namely, he held like Rashi, which is why he held that a Kli is Mafsik, but he wanted to know whether items in horizontal movement are or are not considered grounded. Or Eitan, the other way is not to change this Gemara, but to change. Namely, can anyone define why a Kli being Mafsik would ruin Kinyan Avir, even according to the Ran? That's our final challenge for today. Why would you say that if a Kli is Mafsik, as Rava says, it breaks Kinyan Avir, even if you hold that Kinyan Avir doesn't work, Kemande Munach Dami, and the structure Eitan prevents the visualization of future events, why would I say that Kinyan Avir is Kona, but if there's a Kli underneath it, it's not Kona? Akiva.
Well, a person can't just go around town making being Machna airspaces. They have to correspond to the Chatzar underneath it. So maybe if there's a mafsik between the Chatzar and the airspace, he's not actually Machna the airspace.
80% there. Say it a little sharper. If the Kli is obstructing between the item and the ground, why can't I say, look, it's my Chatzar. You put your Kli there, but it's in my airspace. What difference does it make if your Kli is there? I'm not trying to ground the item. Not trying to relocate the item, I'm just trying to say it's in my avir. What difference does it make if your kli is there? Want to sharpen it?
Maybe the kli disconnects the airspace from the chatzar.
Yeah. Namely, now you're 90%. You see if the kli is there.
It makes it to the airspace.
It makes it the airspace, not of the chatzar, but of the kli. Airspace theory. Can a kli have an airspace? Even if we hold that I'm Kona, not because I take the item and ground it, but I'm Kona because the item's in my controlled airspace. If there's a Kli underneath it, then maybe it's not the airspace of the Chatzar, maybe it's the airspace of the Kli, or maybe not. Which Rishon talks about it in this framework? Not in this framework, in a different framework, but he says that logic, that if there's something between the ground and the item, and it's no longer the airspace of the ground, it's the airspace of the intervening, obstructing item. Who says this? So if you got it yesterday, who says this? Okay, I've limited to three or four.
Ramban
kind of says it. Take a look at the Ramban. What does he say? In which context? Very good.
About a fire.
About a fire. Excellent data. Okay, so let's see the Gemara get 9 tests. The Mishnah says that you're Kona with the airspace. Who cares, Yaakov, whether you're Kona or the airspace is going to fall a minute later. The Gemara says, let's say it gets burnt on the way down. So your Kona, your Megoreshes, once it enters the airspace, no problem. The Gemara has a qualification. Amar of Nachman, Amar Rabba Baravua, the second two dots. Lo Shanu, Danny, you want to help our guests find it? Lo Shanu, Elisha Kadam Get Ledleka. You first threw the get, and then as it makes its way into the airspace, a person makes a fire. So it already enters the airspace on the way down, and then a person makes a fire that burns the get before it lands. Avol kadma dleika leget. But if the fire preceded the get, there was a fire raging and you threw the get onto the roof or into the chatzer, lo. Okay. Who cares whether there's a fire underneath the get. What difference does it make? Forget, I mean, just tell me what's on your mind. You saw Rishonim yesterday. What difference does it make? It's entering the airspace. So what would you say? Stream it through Rashi and the Ran first. Who's going to be streaming it through Rashi and the Ran? Which Rishon would have an easy way to explain why, if there's a fire burning on the ground, the get is pasul? Rashi or the Ran? Who's going to have an easier time with this? Why? Because if we view the item as having landed already, it's like it's
burnt.
So at any point, you've got a circular logic. The only way to be misgoreshes is to view it as landed, but once it's landed, it's going to get burned, so. Kisaruf dummy. So if you're silent in this sugi, you don't give a svar, it's likely you hold like Rashi. You didn't have to give a svar. If you have to give a svar for this, it's likely you hold like the Ran. You have to give a svar. Who cares whether it's going to be burnt? Who gives a svar for this sugya?
Ramban.
Ramban. So right away, I would say the Ramban is closer to the Ran. If you're Rashi, who needs a svar? What's the Ramban's first svar?
That it's not really air if it's on fire.
Let's read it together. Let's open up the Ramban. Who has a Ramban? Okay, so we'll WhatsApp the Ramban to everyone. My old style Ramban, you get to go back in time before we had fancy schmancy Rambans. Okay, here it comes, guys. Okay, Eitan, you want to read?
Yeah, which one?
Okay. Which one did I give it? Let me just find it. I thought it was in this one.
Yeah.
No. A second. Let me find it. V'had Amrina Nami, right. It's in that piece. Seven lines before the end of that piece I sent you. Seven lines before the end of the piece, Haisa. And your Rambans may have already been separated. The old Rambans had a lot of run-on pieces. And the recent Rambans that they developed, they separated the pieces. So you may find it as a separate Dibur Maschil. In mine, it's one large Dibur Maschil. Go ahead.
Go ahead.
Go ahead. Okay, that's one answer. Let's see the second answer first, and we'll go back to the first answer. V'yesh lomar.
V'yesh lomar, defilu lo mifsika zaleika, kibyon chizarak lo avir chatser. V'yitza zaleika v'rosh chatser ha-shini. Eno get, dimi avdo, lidatu, dimi karo l'avudzer.
Okay, listen carefully. Let's read a Rishon really carefully. Good time to read a Rishon carefully. Rabban always has tube shots, or often has tube shots. What's the second shot? Why, if I throw it onto a get, to a chatser that has a fire ranging, why is it not a good get? Very good. Key words in the Ramban? Three key words. Two key words in the second shot of the Ramban. Okay, and therefore, that's the description, but what's the logic? Me'abedol ladas. Very good. If I take something and I willfully destroy it, I no longer own it. And of course, I can't be mocking it to you. What would you more or less say if I take something and willfully destroy it? Me'abdo ladaz, I take something and throw it into a shark pool. I take something and throw it into a nuclear fusion energy core. What do you call me'abdo ladaz if I take something and willfully destroy it? I'm being
mafgir.
Okay, maybe mafgir, maybe another way to dispossess bailus. But essentially, when I take a get and throw it into my woman's chatzar and I know there's a fire raging, I'm not being machner her get to her. I'm destroying the get. I can't be mocking at something when I'm in the process of destroying. So according to the Ramban, it has nothing to do with a flaw. Ilad, it's not a flaw in Kinyan Avir. If I throw into a chatzer with fire, then I'm not being mocking. I'm just being mafkir, and she can't ever acquire the get. So that's how the Ramban solves the fire problem. If you're Rashi Shmuel, you don't have to solve it. Once there's a fire underneath, then even if you say that you're kona because you ground it, you're grounding it into a fire. But according to the Ron, that Avir is kona independently without looking at it as if it's grounded, why you're not kona if there's a fire raging underneath? The Ramban has to answer, presumably because it holds like the Ron, that when you're throwing it into a chatzer with fire, it's like you're destroying it and you're not being mocked. What's the first answer of the Rambam? Pick out the keywords of the first answer. Well, they're underlined, intent. Using my Ramban. If you're using my Ramban, you have an easy cheat sheet. But use a Bar Ilan. Dehasan. Vohacha. Avir Deleikahu. When I'm throwing a get in a chatzer with a fire on the ground, even if I hold like the Ran that Avir HaChatzer is Kona without looking at it as if it's grounded, only if it's Avir HaChatzer. If there's a fire underneath, what is it? Not Avir HaChatzer, but Avir Deleika. Wow, that's a strange idea. The Deleika is a standalone item that claims its own airspace.
I was thinking maybe it doesn't mean that it's a separate airspace, but maybe it means it's not really Avir anymore. So Avir itself can be
prone
to something, but Avir Deleika can't be
prone to something. Okay, so Eitan, well, let's first build, then break. Okay, let's take this slowly. Does everyone see the parallel between what the Ramban is saying about a Deleika and what Rava may be saying in Bava Metzia about a Kli? Remember, Rava said in Bava Metzia there's a Kli between the Chatzir and the Avir. We can argue in a moment. If there's a Kli between the Chatzir and the Avir, then you're not Kona. One way to view Rav and Bava Metzia is the reason that a Kli obstructing between the Chatz and the Avir is in Kona is because Rav held like Rashi. According to Rashi, the only way Avir is Kona is to view it as grounded. You can't view it as grounded if there's a Kli Mafsik, even if it's a Kli that won't destroy it. The other way to view Rav, the reason that a Kli Mafsik ruins Kinyan Avir is because he doesn't hold like Rashi, he holds like the Ran. You hold like the Ran, who cares if there's a Kli obstructing the Avir in the ground? The Kinyan Avir is not because we view it as grounded, the Kinyan Avir is standalone. And so as if there's a Kli obstructing, then the airspace above the Kli becomes associated with the Kli, not with the Chatzer. Remember, now we're starting to talk about how do you associate. This is Shlomi Nesivos land. How do you associate Avir? Is it just vectored, or are there objects and tagging that can associate Avir? Maybe Rav and Bava Metzia were saying, if there's a Kli between, let me draw it out for you. If there's a Chatzer, and there's a Kli, and there's a Behema, and the person is holding the Kli, and the excrement is going into the clay, this avir, in a different color, this avir is not the avir of the chatzir, it's the avir of the clay. And therefore, the Baal HaChatzir is in kona with his avir, even if Rabbah holds like the Ran. The Ramban may be saying the same thing if there's an esh. There's a sreifa, and you throw a get in, why are you not kona? The Gemara says if the sreifa comes first. So according to Rashi, makes a lot of sense. Omeid l'sreifa. It's not omeid l'nuach, it's omeid l'sreifa. And therefore, if we're allowed to view future events suddenly happen already, then this is burnt, and you don't have a get, and you're not kona. But if you don't hold like Rashi, you hold like the Ran, then why is this puzzle? If you hold like the Ran, why is this puzzle? So the Ramban has two approaches. One approach in the Ramban is when I throw it into a fire, I'm just destroying it. I have no intention to give it to you. One approach is that just like, we need a little bit of space here. Just like we say that the Avir is the Avir HaKli, not the Avir HaChatzer. Here it's the Avir of the Eish, not the Avir of the Chatzer. Who likes that comparison? Who doesn't like that comparison? Just like I affiliate the Avir with the Kli, I affiliate the Avir with the Sreifa, not with the Chatzer. Why do you not like that second shot in the Ramban? What's wrong with that second shot in the Ramban? It becomes the end. And then maybe you want to say a different shot, Eitan, but what's the difference between saying that Avir is associated with an intervening Kli as opposed to saying that Avir is now associated with a fire, Akiva?
Because Klis are usually machna something, but that's why you could say that the Avir is associated with the Kli, but why is it, right? So why are you saying the Avir is associated with the Eish?
Great, perfect. Say, add to it. You're in the right direction. What is another difference between the Kli and the Eish, Yoni?
Especially if you say Kinyan Kanon works through Kinyan Chatzer, then really you should be entitled to an Avir versus...
Okay, so it depends on how we understand Kalim. Are Kalim themselves a Chatzer, or so maybe they mold into the Chatzer? I would continue Akiva's approach, even without any lumbus of how you understand Kinyan Kalim. Stephen?
The Eish is actually on the ground?
Yeah, the Eish is part of the Chatzer. when I introduce a kli into the chatzer, I've got competing forces, a chatzer and a kli. I want to know who claims the airspace. Maybe we can talk about whether kli molds into the chatzer or not, Yoni. Aish is not competing with the chatzer. I've just changed the ground of the chatzer. When I put a fire in the chatzer, I'm like, I don't have the chatzer anymore. I'm just using the chatzer. Instead of using the chatzer to load peros and to have a tailgating party, I'm using the chatzer for fire. It's like a competing force. Now it's the air of the Aish, not the air of the chatzer. The Aish is the chatzer. It's a very strange Ramban. The Aish claims the airspace from the chatzer. So I like the first shot in the Ramban. It's not because the Aish claims the airspace from the chatzer. It's now the airspace of the Aish, not the airspace of the chatzer. It's because it's going to be burnt in a second. You have no intention to be mocking it to the woman. So Eitan was trying to give a different svar. It's not just that the air becomes claimed by the fire, but the air...
It's a different air. It sounds like from what he's saying.
Come on, physics, come on. It's 2018. Don't go back to the Middle Ages.
Well, the Ramban is pretty natural.
What does Aish do to air? Come on.
He says, from what he says, he says,
Hatzam Ika
Avir. It doesn't say
Ika Avir. Right, so what does
H do to... It changes the composition of the air.
Right, takes away the oxygen. I mean, that's what I think the Ramban was saying. It's one thing to have a Kli. Kli is just claiming the air. H really consumes the air, at least the oxygen part of the air, converts the air. I mean, so can you really have Avir when it's being converted by something that's foreign to the chatzah? You're basically changing the Avir. You're soaking out... As we recall, soaking up all the air, soaking up all the oxygen. They're really soaking up the air, but by fire, it doesn't create a vacuum. It just takes away the oxygen, right? It consumes oxygen, still hydrogen. I would like to see what would happen if you have a vacuum that actually takes away the air. Can you be kona avir against the vacuum? So I throw some, let's have some device to take out all the air from the chatzer, and then I throw it into. Is it a question of space or a question of molecules? That's an interesting. Is it space or molecules? What if I take away all the molecules, which you have a kinyan avir, according to Rashi, who cares? But making a vacuum would fall even faster. But if you made a vacuum, it would fall faster, right? There'd be no air resistance, it would fall straight through it, right? There's no air molecules. So according to Rashi, if you make a vacuum, it would definitely be kona, because mamish kamanda munach dami. But according to the Ran, is it a question of molecules? Is that what I think the Ramban is saying, that the H is actually affected? Okay, you want to say maybe visual, it creates smoke, and it blurs the air, it doesn't just...
And that would also be the Tikkun there. Whether you say like Rashi or the Ran, you still
right.
Need air
to... But you don't need to talk about whole like Rashi, because according to Rashi... By the way, just out of interest... What would be an afkamina between the two cases of the Ramban? The two different svaras of the Ramban. The fire is because it burns the get, and therefore you're being mafkir it, or the fire claims the airspace?
Well, he talks about it. Let's say the fire is in a different room, but it will spread.
Right, blowtorch. They have one of those World War I fire guns. And anything that comes into the airspace, I'm just spraying constant fire. Anything that comes into the airspace is going to be burnt by lateral fire. So according to the second shot, knowing that there's fire there, when I throw it into this furnace, I'm being Mabi Midas. But according to the first shot, then it's only fire that's grounded and that competes with the airspace rather than fire that's just shooting through. So the Ramban talks about another chatzer shami, but we can talk about, you know, these flame guns that you have, where you're just throwing constant flame through the air, and whatever get will be thrown there will be consumed, or a laser, let's say. So any get that will be thrown there will be consumed, but you don't have a fire that's competing with the vertical airspace. So the fact that the Ramban tries to solve, let's start again, let's peel this back. Okay, let's start again. The fact that the Ramban tries to give a svara for why the Leika makes a difference shows that he holds like Rashi or holds like the Ran? Ran. Does Rashi need a svara why the Leika doesn't work? No. Why does the Leika not work according to Rashi? Because by making it grounded, it's in the fire. Now, one of the svaras the Ramban creates to solve this Gemara according to the Ran is, what svara does he give? That's relevant for our conversation, that the fire claims the air. It's no longer the air of the chatzer. Therefore, Rafi, even if air of chatzer is kona, it's not the air of the chatzer, it's the air of the fire. This svara in the Ramban and Gittin can help us understand which halacha, which gemara, the Ramban and Gittin, that the air becomes claimed by the fire, can help us understand what? Not Bava Kama, Bava Metzia, where Rava said that a hefsekli breaks the kinyan. When Rava said that a hefsek kli breaks the kinyan above Metzia, where I'm holding the kli and collecting the excrement, why did Rava say that hefsek kli breaks the kinyan? Either because Rava holds like Rashi, and the other way Avir's kona is because we view the items as having landed, and hefsek kli prevents that by obstructing it. In which case, Eitan, if Rava already holds like Rashi, we have to read above Metzia daf yud beis like Eitan, Or, just teasing you. Or, when Rava said that Hefsek Kli breaks the Kinyan, he did hold like Rashi, or he wasn't sure whether to hold like Rashi or the Ran. Hence, Stephen, his question in Bava Metzia, Yud Beis and Aleph about horizontal movement. I'm not sure whether Rashi or the Ran is correct. But if Rav is willing to hold like the Ran, why is Hefsek Kli a problem in Bava Metzia? Because once there's a Kli, who gets the air?
The Kli.
The Kli. Like the Ramban says by fire. So the Ramban, Svar, and Gittin can help us understand Rav and Bava Metzia if Rav wants to hold like the Ran, not hold like Rashi, which we'd like to hold out as an option. We'd like to keep Rav as open because of his question at Bava Metzia Yud Beis about horizontal Avir, Chain Sofa, and Ruch. Noam.
I have two things. First of all, when we say Avir, we don't physically mean air, oxygen. We mean volume. So I don't get the 2018 Svar of scientific and eating oxygen.
I don't know. I don't know what it means. Yeah.
And also,
you understand you're asking a very, very deep question right now, metaphysically. How does the Kodesh Baruch Hu, when I say that Avir is Kone, is it the space that's associated as mine, or actually this particles, right? I can own the molecules that are above me, that are currently above my chutzah.
Right.
You think it's not true, you just think it's yeah, space, not material.
Avir, like, we never just need to be bothered.
Okay, go ahead.
And also, if I were to light a fire in a simta, could be Kone Klida?
Too much for my small mind when I'm tired. Lighting a fire in a simta, can it be kona kli?
Can I use kin and kelim in that case for the Ramban?
Light a fire. Well, you can't own fire, according to Rabbi Yochanan. You can own fire according to Shlakish if you take it literally. Which Gemara am I talking about? Ishal Mishum Chitzav or Ishal Mishum Mimono. Why are you chayiv when you light a fire? It's Bava Kama, you're chayiv because you own it, right? What's the end of the first Mishnah outside of Sheva Shebohen? Shirasin Alecha Umimoncha. She is a chavim mazik l'shalim. I'm chayiv for my animal because I own it. Why am I chayiv on Eish? Biyachlin says, you're not chayiv on fire because you own it. You're chayiv on fire because it's like your arrows. Isho Mishum Chisa. Someone's got to have learned Bava Kama in high school. Bava Kama, raise your hand. Okay, but we got up to only that. I remember I'll say this because some of you know him and love him and respect him. I don't say this at all. I'm just saying this to create an association. I told you this. This once I was giving Bechinos in TABC, and it was a Vaynach Bar Shir. He was giving one of the Shirim then. And they were learning Kiddushin. So I asked the boy, what are you willing to be tested on? So he says, up to Daf Gimel. I was like, shut. It's February. Up to Daf Gimel. But he said, we skipped up these. So I went to ask Rabbi Nachbar, who was very into alumnus, obviously, and he explained to me, it's just there's so many events. Like every day there's a debate club and a mock trial, and he was crying when he said it to me. Like, it wasn't his fault. He said, I've had them for so little time. And great events. And it's interesting, we'll talk tonight a little bit at the VOD. We like talking about Monday night's education and community. You know, high schools have diversified so much and have created so many extracurricular peripheral events that it comes at the cost of something. So which is a better world, right? My kids go to high school and they don't have basketball teams and golf teams and chassid teams, and there's a heavy, heavy academics. So what's better communally, what's better personally, what prices do you pay? We'll talk about that tonight in our VOD. Anyway, so Bava Kama, Chaf Beis, this is Machlokas Rabbi Yochanan Mishlakish. Why am I chayiv for Eish? Because it's like I shot an arrow. It's like basically I'm other mamasik, more or less. Or it's Mimono, you own it. So maybe according to Rabbi Mishlakish, you can own a fire, and if you put a fire, you combine Mishlakish and the Ramban, and you put a fire into a simta, you can be caught in the airspace of a fire. Okay? Maybe. Okay. So let's review what we spoke about today. Let's see if we can. It's a beautiful, beautiful sugya, guys. It's really probably one of the most interlocking sugyas we've seen in a long time. It really, really makes sense. Go through the reps. We'll have a little bit of an adjustment tomorrow, but it really, really is a beautiful sugya. We'll talk about verticality, different parts of the vertical trajectory, the way up, the way down. But let's talk about what we saw. We know that Avir's Kona, that's a premise which the Gemara and Gittin takes for granted on Ayin tests. There are certain criteria when, where, and how, but we know that Avir's Kona. Either Avir is Kona, because we view it as grounded, Rashi, Keman de Munach Dami. Pay attention to the fact that so far, in Gittin, we haven't seen that language of Keman de Munach Dami, nor have we seen any language that even hints at towards it. So where does Rashi get his Keman de Munach Dami language from? Well, that's where he says it, but where does he get it? Which Gemara introduces Keman de Munach? I'm going to say Yud Beis, where Rava asks horizontal whether it's Keman de Munach or not. So that's Rashi gets it from Rava. If you're reading Git 9 tests and you're not aware of Rava and say Yud Beis, you're asking, where does Rashi get this from? Who says that Avir is Kona Keman de Munach? Maybe the Ran's right, that Avir is an autonomous kingdom. Rashi dug into Rava's question and said that must be the core of the kinyan, keman demunach, and Rava, Eitan, must be asking whether horizontal movement is keman demunach or not. That's where Rashi gets it from Rava. But if you're Abaye, or if you're someone who disagrees with Rava, who knows if that language ever exists. We'll see tomorrow. We'll see tomorrow that there is one parameter which we didn't discuss today, which may be so glaringly Rashi-like that Rashi had to give a different shot. No, no. Okay. We'll see a really strong kashya on Rashi. Anyone know what that parameter is? That screams Shitas Rashi. Since Kiman Demunach Dami, you're only Kona. Derech Yerida. And the Gemara says it, because only Derech Yerida is Kiman Demunach Dami. So if you're Rashi, you should be thrilled. Unless you're Rashi, it gives a different shot. That's the way it works. I'll have to try to crack that one tomorrow, today. But fascinating. But Rashi chose Kiman Demunach as a Svara. Rashi here, Rashi in Bava Kamma, Davayin. The Ran says Avir is a standalone kinyan. One of the nafkaminas to this question. So now I'm ordering them a little bit differently. It could be that's what Rava was asking. Is horizontal movement enough to be kona? If you hold like the Ran, who cares? Of course, it's in the Avir Chatzer. If you hold like Rashi, it's not moving vertically. You can't say kimunach dami. Maybe that was Rava's question. But just to keep Rava still open to both possibilities, Eitan at least told us that Rava may be assuming Rashi, but saying, can we view Kiman Demunach when it's horizontal rather than vertical? We try to make sense of Rava's question, even according to the Ran. If it's horizontal, is it really associated with the airspace? It's harder. Question number two, what role do mechitzas play? We need mechitzas. What role do they play? According to the Ravid, it's to mimic the effect of mishtame that we normally have on the ground, to mimic that in the air. It sounds like the Ravid is tunneling towards the Ran. The air is a standalone kinyan. We have to craft contained air and protected air just like we have to have contained chatzah. Whereas Rashi said you need mechitzos in order to facilitate keman demunach dami. Keman demunach dami isn't just a function of vertical motion, but also inevitable fall. And if there are mechitzos there, something can happen to it. We saw the Nesivos who had a third approach, which made us believe he was similar to the Ran, but let's hold the Nesivos on the side for the sake of clarity. The third question we spoke about is what happens if a kli obstructs between the object and the chatzer? Again, for those who weren't clear the first time, the Gemara Bav Nesiyah Kuf Bey says that if a person collects excrement that an animal deposits and he catches it in the airspace of another person's rishus, the collector is kona. Whereas, wait a second, how could the collector be kona when he collects it in the kli? After all, it's already in the avir of the rishus ha-balachatzer. So Ravid says, we're talking about we fasten the kli to the animal's anus, and therefore there's no avir intervening. You're literally taking it before it hits the avir. Very strange rukimta. Rava's rukimta, not even an rukimta, since the kli obstructs between the object and the ground, you're not kona with avir. The simple way to read Rava is that hefsa kli ruins kinyan avir because he holds like Rashi. And his question in Bava Metzia Yud Beis then was, I hold like Rashi, but is horizontal movement sufficient to create the keman demunach effect? Another way to explain Rava Wehefsa Kli, Bruins Kinyan Avir, is here maybe I was like the Ran, but when I have a Kli in the Avir, the Kli claims the Avir, not the Karka, as the Ramban tries to say for Deleka, which brings us to our fourth Nafgamina. Right? Why should Deleka ruin Kinyan Avir? If you hold like Rashi, you don't have to utter a peep. If there's a Deleka, Kaman Demunach, by accelerating the future, you're ruining the game. According to the Ran, why should Deleka be a problem? So there are minor two approaches. One approach is you're not really giving it, you're being mafkira. The other approach is it becomes avir hadaleka. Whatever that means, can that be exported to explain Rava in Bav Mesiyah Kuf Beis that it's the avir hakli? The fifth nafkamina we just happened to bump into, we really wouldn't have talked about it because it's very complicated, but happened to bump into it in the Rashba and Kiddushin is, can avir be used to acquire something? Or avir could also be used to plevent a kinyan. To plevent a kinyan. I want to prevent the kinyan. Can I use my avir? The Gemara in Kiddushin, where I'm kona an animal, an elephant, but making it rise, Rashba says, wait a second, it's in the rishus, the avir of the mocher. How could you have a kinyan? He assumes, like Rashi, that the avir of the mocher can blunt the kinyan, not just acquire a kinyan. I'm not sure the Ram would have bought into the Rashba. Maybe avir is like a chatzer, but you could use it to acquire and protect, not to blunt other people's kinyanim. So that's an interesting question, whether avir could be a mafgia kinyan. Okay, so tomorrow, finish the issue of Derech Aliyah, Derech Yerida. See the Gemara, see the language of the Gemara, see Rashi, See Tosfos. And then we'll take a look at the end of the Gemara, Ayin Testament Beis, till the next Mishnah. Chatzer b'toch chatzer. So we talked about creating airspace that isn't necessarily physically vectored above you. Chatzer b'toch chatzer. As well as kelim b'toch kelim. The Gemara is a contrast. Is that contrast a chiddush in avir? That chatzer b'toch chatzer has avir, but kelim b'toch kelim doesn't have avir. Helps us understand avir better. Or it helps us understand kelim better. It'll take us back to our Kenyan kelim conversation. If you have a little bit more time, take a look at Rabbi Lazar's question on Ein Chesem and Beis, where the Dalet Amos has Avir. Should Dalet Amos have Avir? So tell me, what could it be Talia on? How you understand? How you understand? Dalet Amos. So maybe at the end of the Shia, we'll talk a little bit about this, Rabbi Lazar's question, because it really merges the last two sugyas we've learned. So tomorrow we're finishing our learning of the 8th Parak, Wednesday, Mirat Hashem, we're starting Chazara for about a week and a day or so. This is our last day discussing Chazar. The office was closed this morning, so the sheets are on the way. I sent them, but you just have to print them out. Okay? Okay. Shikoff, guys. Topics for tonight's VOD. Okay? Everyone, welcome to start recommending topics, sending in topics.
How would Rashi explain Rava's question from
Bavimathia? I'm right, Rashi says. Avir is konik dami. Is horizontal movement enough to make mandamunach, or you need something falling?
But there's... Why is it different horizontal versus vertical? If there's one Pesach, there's no other Pesach, and those are small. If it's horizontal, it's another one that's going
to land. No, I don't mean horizontal. I mean horizontal, meaning it will never land. Unlanded movement.
I don't mean horizontal.
I mean horizontal, right. That will never, transitory movement.
Okay. I don't understand how we could say, Avir She'ein Sof L'Nuach is...
According to the Ron.
Yeah, is Nuach.
That's your home.
That's like...
Okay.
It's usually exclusive.
You have to help me out again. I'm not the only one here. You got to work a little schmutz coming with the svara. I agree with you. That's the hardest part of the sugya to explain. That's the hardest part of the sugya to explain. Yosef.
Didn't the Ron specifically talk about like the walls going up, kind of like the Rishu going up, and then say that Kli's just an it's not creating that own of you're just like an obstruction of that space.
You're saying how would the Ron explain Rav and Bavim Siyakov Beis?
Yeah.
I don't think he talks about it. The Ron is contrasting Avir of a Chatzer with Avir of a Kli. He's not talking about what happens when a Kli obstructs a Chatzer.
In terms of the fire as arrows, I vaguely remember, and just the sonic.